from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. A new study out today conducted by UC Berkeley's Food Labor Research Center finds one in three grocery workers is on some form of public assistance to eat. It's a major shift for what used to be a middle-class job in California. The Union Commission study, based on more than 900 interviews, found another big shift. Today's average grocery worker stays in the same job for less than 2 years. Despite the rollout of the Affordable Care Act, there are still millions of Californians living without health insurance, many of them because they're undocumented. For these folks, health care is catch as catch can, as Lisa Morehouse reports.
Maria stands behind a table filled with containers of homemade food. There's oatmeal, salsa, and fish for tacos. She's selling the food to laborers heading out to work for the day in agriculture, construction, and hospitality. They're all members of Sonoma County's Grayton Day Labor Center, which connects its members with employers and also does significant training and advocacy work. Maria makes nutritious food to try to keep her customers healthy, but she herself does not have health insurance.
Because I don't get sick. No, it's because they won't accept me because I don't have Social Security.
Maria is undocumented, and even though her kids have coverage through a special program, she can't qualify for expanded Medi-Cal or sign up for Covered California.
This new Obamacare hasn't helped my situation at all.
When I ask what would happen if she got really sick, she laughs and holds up a little plastic container.
I'd pass a box around because I couldn't afford it.
She's not alone. Up to a million undocumented immigrants in California are expected to remain uninsured, regardless of health care reform.
And so that leaves a lot of low-wage workers without any sort of recourse to health care coverage.
Jesus Guzman is an organizer at the center.
Certainly not through Obamacare, the ACA, and what's usually the case, not through their employer and not through their own pockets. There's really a very, very limited ability for folks to be able to gain any sort of health care coverage, and that leaves a population very much vulnerable.
Earlier this year, State Senator Ricardo Lara proposed a bill which would give undocumented Californians access to expanded Medi-Cal and a unique insurance exchange with state subsidies. But a program like that's expensive, and the bill's not expected to pass. Lara staff says they'll be back with another proposal next year. Given that, Jesus Guzman from the Day Labor Center says preventive care makes the most sense for uninsured people.
It being very difficult to access some of these services and resources in the community, what we can do here is serve as a conduit between some of those organizations and the folks that need them.
The organization partners with community health centers and hosts a physician's assistant once a week. They offer trainings in heart-healthy practices and provide job skills and safety education. And because diabetes is a huge problem among Latinos, nutrition's another big push. Out of the back of a van, Morgan Smith unloads boxes heavy with lettuce, cabbage,
cauliflower, oranges, apples, sweet potatoes.
Every month, the Redwood Empire Food Bank drops off produce at the Day Labor Center, as well as special boxes for diabetics.
Brown rice, dried black beans, high-fiber cereal, a bunch of canned tuna and canned chicken. So it's about 25 pounds of shelf-stable food that will hopefully help someone get through the month a little bit.
Smith is also a registered nurse. When he drops off food, he also gives people free diabetes screenings and prevention information. Maria and her sisters get in line.
This is su resultado y menos de 140 es normal para personas sin diabetes.
Maria's sister, Flor, collects produce inside. She's also undocumented and uninsured, and she knows full well that preventive care only goes so far. A while back, her husband was injured in an accident.
And a bill came. He had only cut the tip of his finger off, and it cost $10,000.
Flor says eventually her husband's employer paid the bill, but only because her husband had worked for him for so long. Otherwise, she says, she doesn't know what they would have done. For the California Report, I'm Lisa Morehouse in Sonoma County.
This story was made possible by the California Endowment Health Journalism Fellowship. Later this week, the Senate Health Committee takes up a bill that would require coroners and others filling out death certificates to reflect the deceased's preferred gender identity as opposed to anatomy. The bill passed the Assembly last month. Despite growing tolerance of diversity, many individuals are still hostile and in a position to abuse their power. 76-year-old Pamela Howland, who switched to living as a woman after retirement, came face-to-face with that fact when she needed hospital care. She shares her story with us as part of our occasional first-person series on health called Vital Signs.
I had decided that the years that I had left, I wanted to live the way I wanted to live. It was a shame that I had to make the change because it would have been so much easier to continue living as a male rather than encounter the difficulties of living as a transgender female that doesn't pass as female. I had been in Arizona about 2 years. I had a surgery, and the surgery damaged a very key nerve in controlling your gastrointestinal system. And I spent on and off 3 months in the hospital, and I had some very, very terrible treatment both by nurses and doctors. They didn't approve of me taking estrogen, so they weren't going to go out of their way or do anything to help me take that estrogen. They just as soon say, let him suffer. That's another thing that comes up continually. Sir, I'm called sir rather than ma'am. You're trapped, and not only that, you're very vulnerable because you're in the hospital for a reason. You're sick. As I get older, there's going to be other reasons why I'm going to be hospitalized. Eventually, it happens to everyone. The only way I could be sure of, confident with the medical system, was come back to San Francisco. So I left a home that I had planned on living in the rest of my life, and an area I planned on living the rest of my life, purely for medical support.
Writer Diaz produced this story. This month, Vital Signs is focusing on seniors. What's your story? Share it with us. Look for the link to Vital Signs on our website, californiareport.org. And that's the California Report for Monday, June 9th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. Stanford Children's Health, bringing innovative care to kids throughout the Bay Area. Learn more at stanfordchildrens.org. And the James Irvine Foundation, with nomination information about the 2015 James Irvine Foundation Leadership Awards, available at www.irvine.org.